Our scripture reading this morning is Colossians 3:18 to 4:6. You'll find that on pages 834 and 835 in the Pew Bible if you want to follow along there. David?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Colossians 3:18 to 4:6. Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husband, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Father, do not embitter your child, or they will become discouraged. Slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything, and do it not only when their eyes is on you and to win in their favor, but for the severity of heart and the reverence of the Lord. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for men. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, it is the Lord Christ you are serving. Anyone who does wrong will be repaid for his wrong, and there is no favoritism. Masters, provide your slaves with what is right and fair, because you know that you also have a master in heaven. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And pray for us too, that God may open the door for our message, that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may be proclaimed it clearly, as I should. Be wise in the way that you act towards outsiders, and make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversations be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so you may know how to answer everyone. May the Lord add blessing to the reading of his holy word.
Thank you, David. Last Sunday, as we were looking at the first half of Colossians chapter 3, and in particular, verse 9, I said that we ought not to be pseudo-selves. That Colossians 3:9 says, do not lie to one another. And really what it is saying is, do not be deceptive. Do not present yourself falsely. Don't be a pseudo-self. But how do you do that? How do you, who have been transformed by Christ, know and present that you have been truly changed by Christ? How will we know, and how will others know, that Jesus has made a difference in our lives? As Paul concludes this letter and the teachings of this letter, let me suggest that the way that Paul thinks we can show that we are changed is by how we relate to others. As Paul concludes his instructions to the church in Colossae, having declared the sovereignty of Christ, having declared the sufficiency of Christ to redeem us, to restore us, his final words are words of encouragement and command on how we are to interact with others. And where those places are perhaps unnatural and don't come easily. As we read these commands, these are not commands that this is all that is required. These are commands that are saying, you know most of the ways you ought to act. But let me remind you as a Christian of how you are to go the extra mile, of how you are to present Christ to others. This is how we show the world the power of Christ, which has transformed us. And there are three broad houses. I called this message House Rules. There are three broad houses. Our households, our warehouses, and the houses of God. The first is that God gives guidance for relating with the family, our households. In the first verse here, verse 18, wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. God has a word for wives. It is the word submit, or position under. And we must start with context. First and foremost, this is a command for wives, not husbands. And I don't know if in 25 years in this pulpit I have ever asked for audience participation, but I am going to ask for audience participation today. Because I am going to make a statement that I want all the men that are here to repeat. This verse does not apply to me.
This verse does not apply to me.
Thank you. This verse does not apply to men. It is a word for wives. Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. It is a statement that does not say, make your wife submit to you, but rather, wives, choose to submit. Choose to take the understanding position. Not that this is a substantive change, that you are not lesser, but that it is a structural decision. That I am going to willfully place myself under my husband. Submission does not eliminate equality. If so, then God the Father and God the Son would not be equal because Christ submits to the Father's will. But they are equal, according to the scriptures. So by saying I am going to submit does not mean I am going to be less than, but rather simply I am going to be lower in the structure than. Now, this understanding is qualified with what is fitting in the Lord. It is never blind allegiance, but an act of faith. And it carries with it, this term submit carries with it the understanding that we all are called to submit. In Romans 10:13, in 1 Corinthians 16:16, in Hebrews 12:9, and in 1 Peter 5:5, we're called to submit to earthly leaders. We're called to submit to governing authorities. We're called to submit to God. We're called to submit to church leaders. We're called to submit. But wives, you have the added weight of saying, this is the countercultural word that God has for me. This is the countercultural corrective that God has for me to choose to allow the husband to have the final word, to be above me in structure. God has a word for husbands, and that word is love. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Paul here is extending his teaching of Philippians 5:23. Love your husbands just as Christ loved the church. Husbands are committed to love their wives. And I don't need to say, repeat after me for the women, because the wives understand. It's us foolish men that don't understand how the system works. We want to make sure that everyone not only follows our rules, but we are responsible for making everyone follow their rules as well. Husbands, you ought to love your wives just as Christ loved the church. And what did Christ do? Christ served the church. Christ purified the church. Christ washed the church. Christ fed the church. Christ equipped the church. Christ forgave the church. Christ died for the church. Am I serving my wife the way Christ serves her? Am I sacrificing for my wife the way Christ sacrifices for her or for me or for us? And this love must not be given begrudgingly. Do not be harsh with them. Do not be. Do not cause friction. Do not be irritating. Do not be chafing. That this should be a smooth and willful act. God has a word for children, and that word is obey. God's instruction flows through godly parents and children. And the word child here, there are 5-6 words for children in the Bible. This word is technos, which is a neuter term, a non-gender specific term. And it is simply offspring. So child is not, well, once I turn 18, I don't have to do this anymore. No. As long as you are the offspring of your parents, which according to what I would say offspring are, that's forever. You are to obey them. You are expected to heed and accept what is instructed. Because that's the posture that pleases the Lord. Now you may disagree. You may choose to live elsewhere and otherwise. But you owe it to your parents to listen to their instruction. Especially as it relates to God's purposes and plans. It's what pleases God. Now, God also has a word for fathers. It is, for whatever reason, Paul simply says fathers. And maybe it is the superstructure of the family. And I do think that it should be parents. In today's day and age, don't embitter your children. Don't provoke them. Don't agitate them. Don't stir them up. Parents are commanded to know your children. And you're commanded to raise them rightly. Proverbs 22:6. If we train a child in the way they should go, when they are old, they will not depart from it. We aren't to provoke them and stir them up and agitate them and frustrate them or discourage them. We are to be encouraging. God instructs us how to relate to one another in the household. And these aren't earth-shattering. They are earth-shaping, but they are not earth-shattering commands. But they are against our nature. Paul has been talking about in this whole letter, not following our earthly nature, not following the philosophies of this world. And this is where the rubber meets the road, through submission, through agape love, through obedience, through encouragement. Secondly, God gives guidance for relating with the workforce. God has a word for servants, and that word is obey. And again, we must start with context. In the NIV, and rightly so, it says slave and master, but this is not chattel slavery. This is not dehumanizing property slavery. This is the biblical idea, the biblical principle of bond servery, which maintained rights and protections, that this was a reasonable occupation. I can't afford to live on my own. I can't feed my own children, so therefore I will bond myself to someone else and work for them, and they will give me rights and pay and food, and I will be protected from harm and so forth and so on. And again, workers are expected to heed or accept what is instructed. They are to do what they have been told to do. In a workplace, we are to do the job we're hired to do. We're to obey the supervisor. And as Paul says, this is not to be literally for eye service, which could mean that we appear to be working or going through the motions, or it could mean that we are working for the attention of others. Working so that our service is seen. Or working while our service is seen. And we are not to be people pleasers. We are to work to please God and not others. And then God has a word for earthly lords or masters, and that is provide, or cause to be, or present. Supervisors, bosses, employers are commanded to display what is right and fair. Bosses are expected to be just, to lead objectively, not subjectively, that there are a list of rules, and they keep those rules and they don't add to them, but rather are just. They are expected to be fair, equitable, impartial. And ultimately, they are expected to remember that they are also under supervision. No matter who you are, no matter how powerful you are, there is still someone above you, and that would be God. So no matter, in a sense, what Paul is saying is what Jesus has said, what it says in other letters in the New Testament, with the measure you have been judging is the measure you will be judged. God instructs us how to relate to one another in the warehouse. And then thirdly, God gives guidance for relating with the world. God has a phrase for believers as they interact with other believers. And that is, be devoted to prayer. Now, I'm not saying all we need to do is pray, but what Paul is saying is, don't forget this. That we are commanded to persist in prayer. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. We are commanded to watchfully pray, to keep an eye out for concerns. We're called to thankfully pray, to keep an eye out for blessing. And we are called to pray for one another as we pray for ourselves. Verse 3 here, and pray for us too. Oftentimes we pray for ourselves, and we need those five words, and pray for us too. We petition God for opportunity to share the gospel and to share it clearly. We petition God for the equipping of the saints to do the work of ministry effectively. Paul's hope is that through their prayers, they may proclaim the mystery of Christ. And we ought to be praying the same thing, that God would open a door of the Word. Open the door of the Word. Give us opportunity. But God also has a phrase for believers toward unbelievers. Walk in wisdom. Wherever you are going, you're to go with God's wise word. We are expected to interact with outsiders. Now, those may be spiritually outsiders. Those may be societally outsiders. It doesn't specify who those on the outside are. Be wise in the ways you interact with outsiders, or the way you act toward outsiders. We are expected to seize the season, seize the time, seize the occasion. And we need wisdom to do that. So we need to walk wisely. And when we speak with others, we have a particular parlance that we need to be using. We talk with grace seasoned with salt. We express God's unmerited favor toward all. And we express God's unmatched savor, the curative and preservative and tasteful words of God. And we talk to address the known needs of others with God's truth. We can always provide an answer. It may not be the answer. We can always provide an answer. A reason for the hope that lies within us, Paul wrote in another letter. And that would give hope to everyone. God instructs us how to relate to one another in the house of God. Oh, thank you. That's okay. As Paul says, as he began this larger section of the letter, that since you have been raised with Christ, Be aware of how you interact with those around you, those in your household, those in the warehouse, those in the house of God and beyond. That we submit, that we love, that we obey, that we do not embitter, that in the workplace we obey, that we provide, and in the world we devote ourselves to prayer, and we are wise in the way we act toward outsiders. Our sermon in a sentence is this. We reveal that Christ has raised us to new life by the way we relate to others. We can all be defined by one of these categories this morning. All of us here are a wife, or a husband, or a child, or a parent, or a servant, or a lord, or a believer. Some of us have more than one of these categories. How you live out that role or those roles is up to you. But you will not be able to express fully the change that Christ has done in your lives unless you appreciate that God is working through you where you are, giving you the power and the temperament and the grace and the mercy to fulfill these commands for yourself. The biggest danger in a message like this is that you go home and you say, I heard a message today and it was about you. And this is what you need to do. That's not what this passage is about. This passage is about you and what you need to be doing. And trust that God will work in others. You are displaying your new self. You're raised to glorious goodness self when you keep the commands that are ascribed to you in this passage. We reveal that Christ has raised us to new life by the way we relate to others. Will you join me as we pray? Father, thank you for this time together and thank you for this word. We ask that you would help us to live out the truth as we interact with others. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.